Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to a special holiday edition of the Must Hear Music podcast. So it's holidays 2015, so whatever that means for you, go for it. Merry, happy, whatever. I'm sitting here with Aaron Strecker.
Hi.
And Denise Warner.
Hello. Ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays.
Too much.
What?
I'll take it.
Yeah, come on.
All right, so we've got some holiday picks here. We've got some Christmas songs and some, actually, as I'm looking through it, it's pretty much just Christmas songs, but I mean, to be honest, that's what most holiday music is anyways. So let's dive in with one. Let's start with Miley Cyrus singing Silent Night from the Netflix special A Very Murray Christmas. Now, am I still the only one who watched A Very Murray Christmas?
Yes, but I listened to the song.
Yes, I listened to the song as well, and some of the other music from the special.
I did my homework, but I've been told that I don't necessarily need to watch A Very Murray Christmas,
yeah.
Which is too bad because I love Christmas specials and I love Christmas music and I love Christmas movies.
Yeah, it seemed like it could have been something really kind of fun.
Isn't George Clooney in it?
Yep.
George Clooney is
I
in
mean,
it.
I mean, I'm going to watch it because a thing about me is that if you put enough famous people in something, I will watch it. I may not like it, but like it's not right. Going to be enough to stop me seeing it beforehand.
Right. I mean, I can't. I don't want to deter anyone from seeing it. If anyone's curious, they should absolutely go for it. What's her name? Sofia Coppola also directed it. You know, she's good and talented and has done great things with Bill Murray.
Because Lost in Translation is still one of my favorite movies of all time, and he was robbed of an Oscar, and I realize that's not the point of this podcast, but I needed to get it in
there. No, that's fine. You know, it's 12 years too late, but, you know, let's hop into that discussion.
I mean, Sean Penn really... Anyway, continue with
Sean Penn was really good. It was Mystic River, right?
Yes, but all he did was yell a lot, and he was very angry, and then he won a few years later for
Milk,
playing Harvey Milk, so, like...
Also, if we're gonna do this, Mystic River, that was the same year that Johnny Depp was nominated and didn't win for Pirates, and it's hard to think about now, 12 years later, when there's been so many of those pirate movies, but he was really, really effing good in that, even though that's not really the kind of movie that the Academy
rewards.
None of
this has anything to do with the season, guys, so I am grasping this conversation.
The season,
season
being Oscar season.
Well, yes.
That's another true. Podcast that we don't do, but you can listen to it on THR.
Anyways, so Bill Murray had a holiday Netflix special. It's pretty much just a bunch of famous and like indie famous people like sitting around in a hotel bar, occasionally singing songs. Bill Murray sings quite a bit. Bill Murray is not a singer. I would not say run out and go watch this. It's not a great special. It's very much of the idea that if you like set a bunch of famous people up on screen, like magic will happen. That's not true, and that doesn't happen here. However, Miley Cyrus does come in a dream sequence at the end, and she sings two songs, one of which is Silent Night, and it's fantastic. I mean, Miley, I'm a big supporter of her vocal prowess. Like, when she, and I like her, like, pop antics too, but when she, like, gets down to it, like, she just has an incredible voice. And listening to her sing Christmas songs is just, like, you know, it's a Christmas treat. It's a candy cane flavored, I don't know. I'm gonna sputter out with that. But what did you guys think about it?
Yeah, I totally agree. I love Miley's vocals. I mean, listening to this, it made me once again wish that she would just put out a country album. I'm also a fan of her pop antics, but I just feel like any album where her vocals can really be on display would be something I would listen to again and again. Maybe a Christmas album is the way that she goes at some point. I'm kind of surprised that during the Hannah Montana year, she didn't put out a Christmas album. Maybe she put out a Christmas song, I don't know, but she never put out a full album. And she should, because Silent Night is really great, and I know it wasn't one of your picks, but the other tune was Let It Snow, and that was really fun as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you guys have said it all. Miley has a great voice. I mean, we've heard her sing Jolene. You're right. It would be great if she did a country album. It'd be even better if she did a Christmas album, because obviously that's what we're here to talk about. And I have like a wish list a mile long of artists that I want to hear sing country music. I'm sorry, Christmas music, because there's nothing better than, like, for me, pop stars or like famous, like current singers doing like old classic Christmas favorites. I just love that. That it doesn't get any better. And I know we'll get to it, my two picks are like completely new songs, and that's rare for me. And like All I Want for Christmas Is You is like the only non-traditional Christmas music that's generally on my Christmas listening playlist. But yeah, it'd be great if Miley did a whole Christmas album. We'd all love it.
What about Pentatonix? Because they've got some new Christmas stuff. Does that make your holiday playlist?
I haven't listened yet. Are they singing like traditional songs, or are they singing like
They've got a mix of new and traditional.
See, I'm actually pretty certain I love Pentatonix. I love the acapella stuff almost as much as Aaron, but probably not quite as much.
How come I have to become the nerd on this podcast?
Well, don't worry. I mean, we could nerd out on something else later. But I love Pentatonix, and I think, like, yeah, I need to give that a listen. So I will, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of Pentatonix's Christmas album, if anyone out there is looking for one great track, Mary, Did You Know, on, I believe, their first one, is a fantastic arrangement. So that's not my official pick for this podcast, but it is a pick that you could check out.
Well, we're actually, by the time this podcast goes up, releasing some information about the most streamed Christmas songs on YouTube, and one of them is Mary Did You Know by Pentatonix.
Well.
I feel like nearly half of this list of the 20 most streamed Christmas songs are Pentatonix.
They have their fan base in general, but especially with Christmas music, they really be able.
With kids. I was at a backstage charity benefit, and the girl from Pentatonix, who, of course, I don't know what her name is because I should have looked it up ahead of time, but she was there, and like other famous people were there, and 100% there were kids there who were like doing a kids singing thing. All they cared about was Pentatonix. Like,
their YouTube covers are really good.
They could not have cared less about any other famous person. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think Pentatonix is great, and somehow not a selection on this podcast right now.
Well, they don't. They're
I think we
last
talked
year.
About them last
we
year.
We did. About them
we
last year.
No, we definitely. I remember. Did. I think we all did this one last year with the late great departed Jason Lipschitz, who's not dead.
He just doesn't. Alive.
He's alive. He just doesn't work here anymore. I think he was very much a Bieber stan in that. Yeah. I hope I'm not defaming him right now.
No, we were trying to pick new songs this year that have come out in 2015. So that's why that happened.
Yeah. All right, but let's listen to it. We've got Miley Cyrus doing Silent Night. It's from the Netflix special. It's also on YouTube. A Very Merry Christmas.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake.
All right, that's Miley Xmas. Let's keep it in the new realm and do a Denise pick. We've got Fetty Wap doing a song called Merry Christmas.
Okay. If you listen to it, which you will, because we'll play it for you in a bit, it does definitely sound a lot like Trap Queen, which isn't necessarily a problem. Who's the featured person on it? Monty?
Oh, is there? I didn't even...
I'm making this up. I thought there was a feature person. It doesn't matter.
I can look it up. But
Fetty Wap's Merry Christmas. It's a great, like, non-traditional song. And if you like Trap Queen, or if you like any of his other rap music, you'll like this song. It's just something to put on if you're looking for something that's not, like, Silent Night or whatever else people listen to the day of. It's just a fun, you know, a fun little track that he just put out.
It's fun, but when I was first listening to it, I kind of got like, it seemed like a little bit like an SNL skit. Like, what if like 2015's biggest singer, Fetty Wap, put out a Christmas track? This is what it would sound like. And then everyone would kind of laugh because, like, as you said, it does kind of sound like, let's be honest, one of the best songs of 2015, Trap Queen.
Yes.
It really didn't work for me. I don't know. It felt almost too jokey, and like there's definitely like a knowing wink to a lot of Christmas music. Mm-hmm. But for this, it felt just like a bit over the top, and I couldn't really get into the tune, like the music behind it. So I don't know that I would necessarily play this. It would not make the Aaron Christmas playlist.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ooh. Wow.
I liked it a lot. I thought, you're right, it sounds like Trap Queen. I mean, a lot of, I really like Fetty Wap. One of the criticisms of his debut album, though, was that, like, oh, they just all sound like Trap Queen. But whatever. It's a good sound. He's got his own thing going.
When you figure out what works for you, you run with it and go.
Yeah, and I like his song again, this one. It's like sweet. It's like a sweet romantic sort of thing. Like he's talking about like showering gifts on his girl. And it's also got like just this great off-rhyme thing, which are like my favorite kind of rhymes, where he makes Santa Claus rhyme with amateurs, like Santa Claus amateurs. It's just incredible.
It's the Jersey accent coming out.
Yeah,
in him.
it's so perfect.
Like, wait, can we just pause really quick though? Like, naturally, Joe, anyone who doesn't know, Joe loves puns, is obsessed with them. Yeah. And so it's just funny to me that the thing that you signal out of the song is like the wordplay that the wordplay, yeah.
That, I mean, hey, that's a big part of hip-hop, you know? Yeah. Wordplay, making two words that don't actually rhyme suddenly rhyme. It's an it's an incredible gift, you know?
And you have it.
Not in the hip-hop context.
Well,
but
in the pun context.
Thanks, guys. Aw, happy holidays, happy holidays to everyone.
That was my gift to you, that praise.
I'm as red as a Christmas bulb, or is that what you call them?
Yes.
Just like the bulbs on the tree. I don't know.
Ornaments.
Christmas light?
Whatever, never mind. Let's listen to it. So Fetty Wap, song's called Merry Christmas.
Yeah, baby, this is Merry Christmas to you. We're all in love with Christmas, it's true. And all I want for Christmas is you. I say all I want for Christmas is you. I say all I want for Christmas.
All right, that was Fetty Wap. Let's do Carly Rae Jepsen's Christmas song. She did a cover of Wham's Last Christmas, which has been, I think we might have even maybe we talked about the Glee one at some point on this podcast. Maybe
I'm
not.
Sure I brought it up at some point.
Yeah, you probably mentioned it at some point. But so this is your pick, Aaron. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Last Christmas, I think, is just a great Christmas track. It kind of plays into already my favorite kind of music in general, which are songs that sound happy musically, but then when you listen to the lyrics are really sad. Mm-hmm. And I think all the great pop songs, that's what they do. I think ABBA did this really well, and I think Last Christmas is a great example of a song like that. For Carly Rae's version of it, truthfully, like, it doesn't sound that different from the original. It kind of sounds like exactly like Carly going into a karaoke bar and singing the Wham version. But it's a great song. And as anyone who listened to Carly's recent album Emotion knows, she's really into the 80s right now. And it definitely, like, this version definitely sounds at home on that album. It obviously wasn't. But I like kind of like the synth sound at the beginning, and, you know, she slows it down a little bit. And I don't know, it's just a really great, fun fun cover of a great Christmas song, so it was fun to listen to.
Carly Rae is definitely, she's a big favorite around the Billboard office.
Totally.
I think she's a big favorite among most music critics, pop music critics especially. Mm-hmm. She's definitely underrated. She's great. She has a good voice. She has a good sound. And this is just another fun thing to add to her pantheon or her oeuvre of work or whatever. That's actually kind of redundant what I just said, but you know, everyone should have a Christmas song, I think, and this is a good one for her. And you're right, it doesn't sound too much different than Wham, but it doesn't need to. You don't need to necessarily,
as we said earlier, when you get on what works, you stick with it.
Yeah, and exactly. And bringing it back to what I said too, it's that, you know, it's fun when you hear like a pop singer taking on these like older songs, like covering them. Like, people love covers, obviously. Like, Joe, you wrote an essay about cover albums that's coming out on Billboard.com. So it's just, it's a fun one. I liked it.
I'm going to,
oh no.
Let's say I'm a little chillier on this song. I like it. I kind of, for what you guys said, the reason that I'm not crazy about it is that it sounds like pretty much exactly like the original. And it does, it sounds like she kind of just like karaoke'd it. So that's all I mean is while listening to it, I was like, oh, I like this. But like, I would never put it on a playlist, a holiday playlist. Because if I did, I would just put on the original. There's no need to replace or even augment the original.
But it's like it's like the Glee versions of songs. Like, it's just other people covering it.
No, it's still,
you know?
It's fun to listen to, mm-hmm. I guess.
I get your point. And if the theme emerging from this podcast is, would we put this song on a holiday playlist or not? It would not make the Joe Lynch playlist.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I would have maybe appreciated something more with it. Because also, like what you said, like, she's doing 80s with this song. But it's like, the song came out in the 80s, so the original already is 80s. Like, maybe we needed the 2015 pop version or a disco version, or I don't know.
Okay, side note for projects for next year, any artists listening, a disco version of Last Christmas is a tune I will definitely spend $1.29 on iTunes on.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got my money too. We should start that campaign.
Great,
yes,
perfect.
Yes, let's start a Kickstarter for it. We just need to make an artist do it. We need to get someone with talent to
do
it.
Lady Gaga would do it. She's been a little bit disco-y lately.
Lady Gaga could do it. I could see that.
Yeah. I'm surprised she hasn't had a Christmas album.
Right. And when she the first year she got big, had the, I believe it was called Christmas Tree for the Amazon one, which was like her goofy, sexy, like very sexual Christmas tune. But yeah, especially with her whole like going back to the classics, cheek to cheek era. Although she does Christmas specials. So she's done like White Christmas.
Specials.
There's a bunch of Christmas songs if you go on YouTube that she's done versions of. Actually, in other picks, her White Christmas is fantastic.
All right.
So and she sings a special bonus verse. So
we should not have opened that Lady Gaga Pandora's box
with
you.
Sorry. let's wrap it.
Moving on.
All right, but let's listen to Carly Rae Jepsen covering Last Christmas. All right, that was Carly Rae, as in Jepsen, doing Last Christmas. Next up, let's do Denise's other pick. We've got Katy Perry, a song she did for H&M called Every Day is a Holiday. It is typoed on her YouTube channel. She has Every Day is one word. In this context, it should be two words. But so sorry, Katy. We just want to point that
Katy
out.
So Katy Perry Vivo people,
Katy Perry Vivo people, you need to put a space in between every and day. Otherwise... Great job with this song.
Yeah. I'm glad it's on her official Vivo account because we were debating yesterday whether I could include this. And we decided yes, since it's on her account and it's a whole 2 minutes. It is an ad for H&M. I hope she releases it as an actual song because it's kind of the perfect frothy, fun Katy Perry, just gooey pop song. Like it reminds me of Birthday,
yes,
which is one of my favorite Katy Perry songs.
I really liked Birthday on Prism. It was one of my favorites.
I love that song a lot. Again, underrated. Not that she is underrated, but I just thought that song, I'm surprised it didn't hit number one. I'm surprised, like, you know, she kind of fell off in the number one hits, even though, like, anyway, birthday, great song. Every day's a holiday. Super fun. Super Katy Perry. And like I said again, like I said before, again, you know, I'm usually more of a traditional holiday song. Like if it's, even if it's, you know, Twisted Sister covering O Come All Ye Faithful, like I like that stuff over the, you know, the new songs, but I really liked this song. I thought it was fun. And if it's ever available for purchase, like Aaron said, they have my $1.29.
I loved it. And I was, I went into this being like, it's a new holiday song for a H&M commercial. I was like, this is going to be the dumbest thing, but it's like so much fun.
It's so fun. And it's surprisingly
and it's
good.
Really catchy. Yeah. And it's like she put, I feel like, as much effort into this song as like an album track on
exactly.
Prism. So it's good. Like, I want this to be like an actual purchasable like song.
Yeah, so dear Katy Perry, all we want for Christmas is a full version of Every Day is a Holiday.
And the video is really fun too. It's like her dancing with gingerbread men.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the whole Teenage Dream Tour.
It's a Christmas version of Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree. When I heard this, I definitely thought Teenage Dream. When I saw the video, I thought Teenage Dream. And speaking as someone who liked Teenage Dream, it's no surprise that I totally agree with you guys.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, a great frothy pop tune, and definitely like the Christmas song Katy Perry should have recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And she did, kind of. So she just needs to kind of finish it.
Right, exactly. It needs like 30, maybe 40 more seconds. And then, boom. Boom, you're done, Katy. Released into the world.
Yeah.
Straight to the top of the
Christmas
charts.
Mariah Carey, watch your back.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. So Katy Perry, Every Day is a Holiday. Let us listen to that. All right, that's a Katy Perry song for Christmas and for making you buy clothes. Let's
which is what the
to,
season is
yeah,
all
which
about.
Actually, yeah, is like the most Christmassy thing possible. I wonder how her dad feels about that, because her dad is a preacher, so I assume he's all like, Christmas is about Jesus, not buying things and selling blah blah blah, like uh-huh.
I think that ship has sailed between them a long time ago, though.
Yeah.
You think they're just like, they're like agree to disagree on life?
She's spoken about how that is basically her relationship with her parents, where she gets along with them and that mm-hmm. they agree to disagree about that stuff.
She has like whipped cream coming out of her breasts on the regular. I think they've reconciled.
The H&M commercial is not the one that's going to push her parents over the edge.
They've totally reconciled their, you know, faith with her image. Or they don't talk, but I think they have.
I think they actually do talk.
Yeah.
So, well, good for that. I would be very curious to see what that Christmas is like. Actually, it's a good question. If you could be a fly on the wall of any musician celebrity Christmas, whose would it be? Actually, I switch it Mariah Carey, because I just want to see what craziness she does for
you mean
kids.
Like, you want to be sitting in on their
I
want to
be
family?
Sitting and they're not aware that I'm there.
Okay.
I'm watching.
You want like an unfiltered
yes.
view of what it's like to spend Christmas mm-hmm. with,
Mariah's a really good answer, because I bet it's over the top and fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also very curious. I'm just going to keep it basic. I want to know Britney Spears' Christmas, and I want to know Gaga's Christmas. But I think Mariah would be more interesting than both of them.
Yeah, once you have kids in the mix, that's,
then it's just kind
you know.
Of, yeah.
This is a really tough question, because I think, like, if you, I want to see something really screwed up. So I'm thinking, like, you know, what musicians are going to just have, like, crazy holidays, and why isn't anything coming to mind? Like, let's go with like Keith Richards or Mick Jagger. Like, what are they doing on like the holidays? Not to say that they're screwed up. I just mean like they would be, it would be an interesting look at what it's like to be a rock star around the holidays. Like, do they celebrate? Do they have a tree? Like, what's their deal?
It's like Love Actually.
Oh, it's exactly like Love Actually. Are they
so really,
sitting alone?
Sad. They wish they could spend their Christmas with someone.
Yeah, and they're just with their manager in their flat watching porn, apparently. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is from the movie. That is a joke from the movie. I just watched it, and it's a horrible movie, I've decided. But
It's
a really bad movie.
I that movie.
I didn't always, but now as I get older, I'm like, wow, this is really terrible.
It's
I think
so
people should save their rage for something that isn't the Love Actually Christmas movie.
No, I mean, I have a lot of rage. A
worthy target.
But I think, like, I have a lot of rage, but I think it deserves the rage that it gets. It glorifies, like, a stalker. It perpetuates this idea that women have expiration dates, because if you think about it, the only, and I know we're way off topic here, but the only women who are happy at the end are like the young ones. Keira Knightley's character, the Portuguese waitress housekeeper,
who he falls in love with even though he can't speak to her.
Yeah, so exactly. That's
a positive thing.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it is, but there's, you know, better Christmas movies out there. So I wish it would stop being so adored.
See, that's why you're that's why the problem is. It's not the movie. It's just that you don't like that it's moved up to like the number one.
Yeah.
Christmas.
I mean, and right. Listen, when I first saw it when I was 19, I loved it because, you know, that was still my future. I was 19, but now as an almost 32-year-old, I'm like the Laura Linney's Emma Thompson characters, like who get the shaft.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to derail.
Speaking of a Joni Mitchell Christmas album.
Yeah.
Well, that was actually, it wasn't a Christmas album. It was
I'm proposing a Joni Mitchell Christmas album, trying to tie it back to.
Sure. Yeah. If she ever.
Good job, Aaron. Good job bringing us back.
I was trying.
All right. Well, let's wait. God, do we even toss to that song? So, no. Let's listen to. Or no, wait, we did.
We talked, okay. Yeah.
Whoa. Too much eggnog, right, guys? I'm just kidding. We'd be like clearing our throats every other second if we were drinking eggnog. All right, let's listen to or talk about one of Aaron's picks, which is kind of a horrifying pick. So you brought a Bare Naked Ladies song to this podcast.
Allow me to explain.
This is a song from Christmas past. We should just make it clear to all the listeners.
Right, because someone, Joe Lynch, told me that we could pick one new song and one like underrated thing, Christmas song of the past.
That
but
is
I was
true.
The only one who did that. So now yep, I just look like true. I didn't follow instructions
pretty
when
much,
in fact I actually did exactly. Okay, so I am not a Bare Naked Ladies fan. I really don't know where this came from. It was on some kind of holiday like the Bare Naked Ladies have a Christmas album, but this song was also on some kind of compilation album that my mom has growing up.
Is it called like A Very Bare Naked Christmas or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, I can't defend this too much. I'm just saying, and I don't like the album, but this song, it's a really, I even forget what the title of this is.
God Rest You Merry Gentlemen / We Three Kings.
/ We Three Kings. And it's with Sarah McLachlan as well. Again, I don't know where this came from. It kind of proves that every artist does a Christmas album eventually. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's really different. And I think a lot of Christmas songs, no matter who's doing them, it's rare that they are different in any way or in any memorable way. And this one is just has a really, I don't know, really unique music behind it, really different beat. And I don't know, it's just really, really catchy. Like, I think one day I was just listening to the album because that was apparently something I did. And this tune just got stuck in my head and I would listen to it like even in non-December months. So I don't know. It's weird. I'm certainly not saying it's not, but it's catchy and I like it and it makes me happy.
Those are all great reasons. So I was horrified when I saw this, but honestly, yeah, you're right. Like, it is like very listenable. I like what they did with it. It's like, it doesn't not sound like Bare Naked Ladies, but it's definitely more like stripped down. And like the way they're playing the acoustic guitar has this like very, like when he strums it or whoever's strumming it, whatever studio musician, or maybe they're playing it, I don't know. But it has this very like open ringing sound that's like kind of pleasing, that reminds me of like, it's not Cajun, but it is like a vaguely like, you know, like down south Louisiana based sort of thing. I don't know. It's pretty good. So I actually, despite my initial reaction, I was like, yeah, this is all right.
Would this make the Joe Lynch holiday playlist to kind of like shock the guests?
God, that's a good question. I'm going to say the jury's still out on that.
Fair. Well, it makes my playlist, and then I'll lie when people ask what it is.
Yes, and Sarah McLachlan does sound really good on it. Her voice sounds excellent. So.
There are a lot of things to like about the song. So.
There's a lot to recommend it. So, but let's let the viewers at home, or listeners, and maybe they're not at home. They're probably out Christmas shopping or, you know, sleigh riding.
Boozing it up. We can only hope.
Up. Yeah. Anyways, let's listen to it. So it's Bare Naked Ladies with Sarah McLachlan. God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen / We Three Kings.
God rest ye merry. every gentleman, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of come.
All right, next and last, this is one of my picks, and this is another one that I actually have mixed feelings about, but it is Cassie Ramone, who used to be of Vivian Girls, a very, very in and popular Brooklyn indie group. She has a Christmas album out, and one of the songs is of Darlene Love's very classic, very iconic Christmas Baby Please Come Home song, which is, I mean, other in terms of like less, I mean, it, okay, so it's from the 60s, Christmas Baby Please Come Home, but it's still, I still consider it like a newer Christmas song compared to like ones that are 150 years old. So I feel like of that bunch, it's like the best. Like, I even like it more than the Mariah Carey Christmas song.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know. That is a shocker. But anyway, so it's like, it's one of those songs that when you cover it, you are never going to do it better than the original. There's just absolutely no way that's going to happen. But Cassia Ramone covered it and put it on her album, and it's kind of this like lo-fi, like indie jangly version of it. And I'm not in love with all the songs on her Christmas album, but I like what she did with this. I like that she did something totally different with it. She's singing on a big vocal song, and I like that she's, you know, she's not like the world's strongest vocalist, so she's de-emphasizing the fact that it's this powerhouse song and focusing more on like the jangly kind of like mix of, you know, like basement or garage instrumentation. And I like what she did with it. So I think it's a really interesting reinterpretation. It's like worth some time. What did you think?
Yeah, I really liked it as well. I don't think that I was familiar with the original. It wasn't a Christmas song I was aware of. So this was my first time hearing it, but I really like it. Like you said, I really liked the banjo folksy sound. It kind of sounded like, and I'm aware it wasn't, but like the music of, if you ever listened to like the OC Christmas Comics CD, like the songs that would come up on the OC, which is that folksy indie sound, but they have like Sufjan Stevens doing a Christmas track and like a couple others, and I heard this and I was like, oh, that's where that belongs, which is a good thing. I like that kind of version of music, and it's certainly not what you typically hear with Christmas songs, so it's right. Nice to bring something else to, you know, the holiday playlist.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole like that, you know, Sufjan has like a series of holiday, I think, EPs, and eventually put it on an album, and Bright Eyes did a Christmas album, which is actually kind of annoying. Like I still like Bright Eyes.
You just don't like the person who you were.
And I like gave it to my mom, and she was like, wow, this is really whiny and annoying. And I listened to it again, and I was like, huh, you're actually right. Like, this is annoying. I don't know why I thought you would like this. But this is pretty good. So it's Cassie Ramone covering Darlene Love, Christmas Baby Please Come Home. All right, and that's all we got for this year's holiday podcast. Thank you for listening. I hope you have an excellent time. I hope you get presents that you want or give presents that don't get regifted. If it's cold, I'm jealous of you. It's very warm in New York right now, and I wish we had a chillier, whiter Christmas. But that's just, you know, thanks to global warming, that's not in the cards these days. Yeah. Anyways, thanks, Aaron, for joining. Thanks to Denise
for that global warning reference.
Who Denise had to run out to do some last minute Christmas shopping.
Santa's helper.
She really is Santa's helper. And yeah, thanks for listening. Have a good holiday, and we'll see you in 2016 for a year end wrap up podcast. So we'll see you later.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.